Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. As you well know, let's go to our foundation text in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll begin with the 12th verse. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is just good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It is a haven. It is a shelter from the storm. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living, alive, active, operative. And it is also active and in operation. And piercing, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge, expose, sift through, analyze, and determine what is good or bad, every single thought, that which we think, that which we reflect upon, that it which is hidden, that only God knows, even gets down in there. And the intentions, the conception, that which we conceive in our heart. That's what the word of God does. Penetrates as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. And it exposes every thought and intention. That's what the word of God does. The word of God reveals the true nature of our thoughts. And we allow that phrase, true nature, to kind of segue into who are we, the real us, who are we? And that's where we begin to talk about some things. There, we won't go back through that, personality and so forth and so on, self-knowledge. We also talked about how to drive the gospel beneath the surface. He drew a silhouette, not a very good drawing, but a silhouette of a man and with the head of a person with the head, and then the word coming into the head. But eventually we want to drive it down into our hearts. Remember, the Lord God said that he will write his word on the fleshy tables of our heart. We began to talk about how do we get the word of God beneath the surface so that it can nourish the real us, to nourish our inner man. Remember, this is spiritual food. This is food for the soul. One thing that I major in is explaining things ad nauseum over and over and over and over again because I know that while we may have it here, a lot of it is not down in here. And that's even me who's studying. I probably study more than everybody probably put together, and it just takes time for that light to turn on. But what explaining something to ad nauseum does ad infinitum is it gets us to hear it and hear it and hear it so that we can drive it down in there. It helps us, I'm hoping that, and encourages you to meditate the word of God away from here, other than Sunday and Wednesday. To meditate that word. Remember, the word of God says in both Joshua 1 and 8 and in Psalm 1 and 1 or 2, 2 or 3, somewhere in there, that we are to meditate the word of God day and night and night and day and day and night. And so we want to drive the gospel, drive the word of God beneath the surface of just our head, down into the very core of our being. Why? So that we can be nourished by it and have in our lives what I believe is 1 Peter 2 maybe talks about, that we may grow by receiving the sincere milk of the word. Let me I kind of maybe butchered that a little bit. So let me, I think that's 1 Peter, you can just write it down. 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 2, yes. Put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. That's what we want to do. If the word of God is going to cause us to grow, then we got to take care, we got to get the nutrients out of the word, spiritually speaking. Does that make sense? A lot of folks hear the word. There are millions who have heard the word. There are millions who can quote scripture. That's why it's not impressive. I'm not impressed when somebody comes in quoting scripture. That means absolutely nothing to me. Been around it for 59 years around church folks. Started when I was 1 year old. My mother took me down into a basement on Henry Street in Inkster. Been around the word for 59 years. That means nothing. If it doesn't get in you, I'm talking about in you, not just in your head. Yeah. Growth will happen. Growth can take place. And so we talked about that. How do we do this? And we talked about Ephesians 3:14. Went through all of that about being rooted and grounded in love, that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That is an incredible statement. We may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's where the word of God needs to dwell. Remember, we said this before. I want to read it again, what the commentary said on this. It said, according to Paul, we desperately need the gospel to make its way from our heads to our hearts into the core of our inner being, to the places that remain untouched and unaffected by the word, to the places where we need to be healed and transformed. That's where the word needs to dwell in abundance, in those places. And we talked about hiding the word of God, where in our hearts. And what does hide mean? Yeah, well, King James says hide. Remember, it means to treasure, to store up, to deposit. Treasure, to store up, to deposit. Just like a bank account, right? You're depositing money into that account. You want to be depositing the word of God into that account, into the account of your heart. And the way we do that, first and foremost, is to hear the word, get it into our heads. And as we keep treasuring it up, we're going to force it down into our hearts. That's why it must be in abundance. Notice he didn't say, now, I understand here it just says treasure in my heart, but to treasure, to store up, you link that with Colossians, you get the full picture. You treasure, store it up, how much? In abundance, richly, that we may not sin against you, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Feel. We went over Colossians 3:15, let the word of Christ dwell within you. Rich dwell means to what, my Greek scholars? Dwell. Take root in, to abide, to take up residence in, to live permanently. It ain't like the word of God is just passing through the houses of our lives. It's to sit down. It's supposed to say, you know what I'm saying? This is it. This is my head. I found a place here. Gonna lay this bad boy out. Oh, my elbows are been up front. So if my shoulder wasn't in therapy, I would have both of them up, kick way back. Word of God is to dwell, abide, remain, to be fixed, to take up permanent residence. That's when change comes. Permanent residence. How are we ever going to get the word down to that level? You got to hear it and hear it and hear it and obey it and obey it and obey it and meditate and meditate and meditate. Wow, sounds like Joshua 1 and 8. Speak the word, meditate the word, do the word. That's how the word of God will dwell in you richly. Okay, so we want to drive this gospel beneath the surface so we can get the nourishing and so forth and so on. Now, this is under the subheading of using the information. What information? Finding out what our personality type is. Using that information for transformation. Remember, we talked about that, which is sanctification. We want to find out our personality types, not just to find it out, but to use that information for transformation. We said, how do we do this? Went over two things. One, we ought to see self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. Went over that. We ought to see self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. What that means is this. More I get to know who I am and why I do what I do and so forth and so on, that then is going to translate into me becoming more separated from the world, from unrighteousness, from iniquitous deeds, and unto God, unto holiness, unto righteous deeds. Does that make sense? It's going to cause you and I and us to move away from doing things that are ungodly and unholy. Because we see ourselves, we understand ourselves, we see why we do that. And what the Holy Ghost does, he'll head it off at the pass before you sin rather than regretting it right after you sin. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's when you know growth is coming. Because you'll say, back in the day, boy, am I right, Jared? He said, man, me and my cousin was talking. And somebody started talking crazy. He said, they just looked at each other and laughed. Because back in the day, they would have had no business. There wasn't no jokes out there in the street. But when you can speak about that like that, know what you would have done, see it clearly, that's Almighty God. That's the grace of God. Instead of killing the dude or putting him in the hospital, and like, man, you know, we shouldn't have did that. The Holy Ghost will hit you up at the pass. It's worded like this. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, right? Or his modus operandi, like the way he operates, the way he does things. Because he does have a way of a motive of operating. And the Holy Ghost exposes that and shows us, hey, we're not ignorant of that. We're not ignorant of him. Because I, the Holy Spirit, I am in both camps. And I'm telling you what he's doing so you can be ready when it comes. Like, I already got this. Part of that being weaponized against the wiles of the devil and tricks and schemes of the devil is understanding who you are and why and the way you operate and why you do what you do, how you're made, how God put you together, and how him putting you together and composing you is different from the way he put me together, which is different from the way he put grandma together. So understanding you and why you do the things you do, why you operate the way you do, why your mind are passive about certain things and not against others, all of that is going to help us toward sanctification. It's not just information for information's sake. It's information for the glory of God's sake. That's what sanctification does. It's going to bring God more glory. This is positioning you and I and us to bring God more glory, which is the reason why we're here in the beginning. So does that make sense? So the first step, if you will, in using information for sanctification, what information? Understanding our personality type, learning what it is and who we are. See that self-knowledge as sanctification, number one. Number two, we ought to see this also, identifying our personality type, as a diagnosis, remember that one, and not a treatment. See it as a diagnosis and not a treatment. We'll get into that a little bit more. Okay, we want to see identifying ourselves as a diagnosis rather than a treatment. We're going to explain that a little later. So this is still review because we did take a look at the first step to see knowledge as a part of sanctification. Having my notes again that I believe that part of maturing as a Christian / follower of Christ, / as a believer, / as a representative of Christ Jesus, / as a child of God, all of that, maturing as a follower of Christ is maturing in our knowledge of self. I am a personal witness of that. The more I grew in understanding myself, the more I matured toward the things of God. Because I recognize that You know, dude, you really, one thing about you can find it, you're just as crooked and cross-eyed and weak and sorry than you ever thought you were. And that's humility. You know, man, when you be looking for your glasses, they, you know, put them up over here, you know, just sit them up, and you're looking for them for 5-10 minutes, and you fill them up here, you're like, boy, you ain't worth 2 damn flies. I tell myself that all the time. I said, well, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I see that. I see John, the book of John, apart from you can do nothing. Amen. If he doesn't give you your mind, you never find them glasses.
Amen.
And that's, I'm not even trying to be funny. You can't even breathe on your own. You don't make yourself breathe. Amen. Glory be to God. So you want to mature, learn about yourself. And what you're going to learn about it is you ain't worth 2 dead flies apart from Christ Jesus. And when you get to that point, brother, you got some humility coming your way. You got some true growth in Christ Jesus coming your way. And true real strength and knowledge and understanding and wisdom like never before. Because you realize you don't know nothing. It's all his wisdom. It's all his knowledge. He's putting this in us. That's why we see the world so differently. Glory be to God in the highest. I'm talking with that lady back there, my wife, my best friend, and Lord have mercy, the wisdom that just pours out of her mouth from heaven above is unbelievable. I just marveled this afternoon. We had a little blackout in our school, which is perfect, too, because everybody just calmed way down. Nobody's in the hallway hardly. And we just talked, just the wisdom. Just gave me some, you know, the Lord gave me some warnings, and just be careful, and just be aware. You know, that pulpit is a powerful thing, man, and be careful and just, you know, be aware. Dealing with God's people, who are sheep? Careful. Because you got thick skin on me and somebody else, but they're not going to have that. You watch out. Come from self-knowledge, understanding that I'm down here. See, when you don't understand yourself, you're going to think highly of yourself, more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I'm going to say that again. When you don't understand who you really are, the tendency is to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think about yourself. What is that called?
Pride.
Say it again. Pride. That's exactly what that's called. To think more highly of yourself than you ought to think is what pride is. That's one definition of pride. And the Word of God warns us that pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Self-knowledge by the Holy Ghost, being exposed by the Word of God, will not cause you to be puffed up. If anything, it's going to deflate you. And that's good news. We need to be deflated. We need our fallow ground broken up. In other words, we need to think of ourselves more accurately like God sees us, not the way that we see ourselves. Because there is a way, Proverbs says, that there's a way to man that seems to be right, but the end thereof is death. Yeah. Or the other one is, man's ways are pure in his own eyes, but this counsel of the Lord that stands, or something like that. Yeah, to us, we look good. But you can best believe you don't have the proper self-knowledge that you need to have by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we said that self-knowledge or knowledge of self begins with self-examination, right? Went over all those scriptures there, and we're going to just kind of skip down, went through all of those. We're going to review again 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Knowledge of self begins with self-examination. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I love the New American Standard. King James says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. But in the Greek, prove doesn't, for us in our 21st century definition of that word prove, but to them, even then, prove then meant to test, which it can kind of mean that to us today too. Like, you better prove that, meaning you better test and see if this is true or not. So the word 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, we got it, Jay? Okay, but examine everything. King James says prove everything. But examine everything carefully. That's the New American. I love that. Examine everything carefully. Every decision, every thought, every intention, every motive, every plan, everything. Every reason. Examine it carefully and then hold fast to that which is good. See, after you thoroughly examine that, then you throw out the bad and hold on to the good. Uh-oh. Whenever you hear things like good and bad, that's a standard. Who set that? God. So then if you're examining everything, you can't be examining everything on your own and in your own strength. Does that make sense? Just the fact that the word good is there. Good means God has set the standard. And if God has set the standard, then he must be the one doing examining. Does that make sense? Because we'll hold on to something and say, hey, that's good. But it's not. That's our standard. God has said, no, you got to throw all that out. All of this, but what about this? What about all that? None of that ain't no good. He said, examine everything carefully. Then 22, abstain from every form of evil. Form, even that which outwardly appears to be evil. King James said every appearance of evil, I think. Abstain from every appearance of evil. King James, verse 22, yeah. Even that which looks, may not even be really evil, but it may look to be evil. That's why I tell people, say, well, check it up in the Bible. Shacking up ain't in the Bible. Which is true. But it appears to be. If I'm not married, I'm pastoring, and I'm living with a woman, how's that gonna look? Even though we ain't doing nothing. Let's say we're in two separate bedrooms. Well, how's God gonna sound? What's that gonna look like to the folks? That's why we didn't even sit down when there was a beer glass mug on the table. You know, it hadn't been clean yet. It was crowded. We wanted to hurry up and sit down so nobody else take the seat. But we just stood near, but we wouldn't sit down. We wanted to dress, take it off. I know it's rerun, but sure enough, we just sat down and just at that happened, there comes somebody from Word of Life. Just at the moment we sit down, walking through the door like, oh, Pastor partaking of the spirits. Am I right? You just don't know. He said, avoid it. So are we that hungry that we might blaspheme the glory of God or compromise the glory of God because we hungry? No. You just stand over here, politely tell the buster, you mind hitting that for me before we sit down? We'd appreciate it. Got no long soliloquy. Be respectful. Be a person of integrity. And realize in your heart, you know why you're doing that. We're avoiding all appearance of evil. Of course, only way you're gonna hold fast to that which is good and avoid all appearance of evil. Once again, what's good, whatever God says is good. What's evil, whatever God says is evil, then the Holy Ghost got to do the examining. Period. Quick side journey. That's the problem today, y'all. With the homosexual, LGBTQ, whatever, revolution, with abortion, with same-sex marriage, with gender revolution. Those four things in particular is because good is no longer the standard that God set here. It's now a standard whatever man sets. Morality is no longer what the Bible says. As moral, it's whatever man said. So therefore, your morality slides, and it's sliding into debauchery, and wickedness, and evil, and perversion. Whatever God says is good and moral stays good and moral forever. That's called what kind of truth? Objective. Say it again. Objective truth. Yeah. Glory be to God. That never changes. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Said this, we're going to finally get into it. Self-examination must include a heartfelt cry for God to lead or orchestrate the examination. I'm going to say that again. Self-examination must include a heartfelt cry for God to lead and orchestrate the examination. Not just lead it, but also orchestrate it all the way through the examination. One more time. Self-examination must include a heartfelt cry. Heartfelt cry for God to lead and orchestrate the examination. Self-examination must include a heartfelt cry for God to lead and orchestrate the examination. Do you understand that? You must recognize, Miss Darlene, within yourself, that myself within ourselves, that we are not capable, apart from God, to lead a true self-examination. Does that make sense? We just said, apart from me, you can't do what? Nothing. So don't try to do this on your own. Well, if you understand that apart from God, you can do nothing, then cry out to God. The good news is you don't have to do this on your own. That's good news. Amen. Miss Darlene took a deep breath and said, thank you, Lord. Thank God. We don't have to do this on our own. He's not telling us to do this and then say, okay, hey, you're on your own. Nope, I got you. Who's living inside of us? Holy Ghost. His name in the Greek, Parakletos. The one called alongside to help us. He's a helper, counselor, comforter, teacher, leader, guide, protector. Glory be to God. And so we say, Holy Ghost, you cry out to God. Lead me in this examination of myself. Look at this in the scripture, Psalm 139. Look at this in scripture, Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. I truly feel like running, but I got to stay here and finish the sermon. Glory be to God. Psalm 139, verse 23. Again, self-examination must include a heartfelt cry for God to lead and orchestrate the examination. Psalm 139, verse 23. Are we there? Okay. Avril, want me to wait for a minute? You good? Okay. Search me, O God. You see that? And know my heart, doesn't he? Try me, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. Look at this. And lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me, lead me, lead me. Search me. I need you, Father God. What are you going to do? You're going to tell me. A little bit at a time. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Somebody say, thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Right? A little bit at a time. You got this wrong, you got this wrong. That's it. There's a thousand other things wrong, but he just told you two out of, so you got 998 other things that's still wrong. He just leads you with a couple of them. What I would advise you to do is that you pray this prayer, I don't know, night and morning. Amen. And then walk through that day examining yourself. You see what I'm saying? You set the tone. Don't make a religion out of it. Don't make a duty out of it. You notice I rarely give step one, step two, step three. I don't really ever give that. But I will say this. You should pray this. You should pray it anyway. I'm going to pray it over you. Father God, I ask that you search us. Oh God, you know our thoughts. Our hearts. Try us, test us, prove us, and know every anxious thought. We ask that you examine us and see if there be any hurtful way in us and lead us in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray it over yourself now, and then you pray it over yourself. Lord God, pray this prayer, and Lord, as I go through this day, I'm going to examine myself throughout this day. And I thank you, lead me, guide, and direct me. Whatever you tell me, I will, when your spirit speaks to me, and with my whole heart, I will agree that you found some things, and whatever you say, then my answer would be what? Yes, Lord, yes. Yes to your will, yes to your way. Now, God, I don't know if you knew this or not, this is exciting. God calling for self-examination, God calling for us to examine ourselves began in the beginning. You say, what? You got to show me that. Turn to Genesis, the book of beginnings. You know it, you just never looked at it this way. Again, God calling for self-examination began in the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Beginning at verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank God we can examine ourselves. Thank God we have the tools to examine ourselves. Thank God we have help examining ourselves. We're not left to our own devices. Again, God calling for self-examination began in the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. So let me set the table. Verses 1 through 6. You know, verse 1, the beast was the most subtle, the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field, trickiest, wiliest, sleekest, sneakiest beast of the field. He's a trickster, verse 1. And so the B portion of verse 1, he couches a question, but he really got some other things going on all behind that. A whole lot going on behind that. So did God really say you couldn't eat other? Did he really say that? And Eve spit it back to him. Her husband told her, she told the serpent, should have been in the story. By the time you get to verse 4, it's the first lie in the Bible where the devil simply says that God is a liar. For he does know that in the day you eat thereof, you'll be like him, a God, knowing good and evil. Eve started checking things out in verse 6, looking at, whoa, she looked and saw and looked and examined and said, hey, man, that's looking pretty good. What verse, whenever you read that, you ought to have in your mind 1 John, I think it's 2:15, which is love not the world, anything that's in the world. For all that are in the world are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of possessions. Notice all three are on display in verse 6. She saw, she looked, took, both ate. And her husband ate right there with her. Now, verse 8. So now they've sinned, right? Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And we believe that was the custom, but that's how they fellowship. Genesis chapter 3. And a man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Now I have a red one in my notes. I have a red one there. Because that's the first time that he's trying to get him to think about it. That's where he is. He wants him to examine himself. Does God not know where he is? Of course, he's Almighty God. He's trying to lock in on Adam. Adam, check you. Where you at? I'm hiding from you. He wants him to think. That's the first thing. First call. To examine himself. You see that word a lot. Why do you say that? Does God not know where he is? Go back over that again. Is God not so? Is all knowing?
Yeah.
Why did he ask that? It's for Adam's sake. It was Adam's sake. He went to the leader. He asked him, where are you? Where are you? Boy, that's a question. Ooh, Miss Cheryl, I got a whole new. We can preach on a thing over here all day long. Many dads said, where are you? When you sitting in the slide peeking and hiding? You over old girl's house who ain't your wife? Dude, where are you? Where are you going? Man, where your kids at?
I know, let's get over. Where your kids at?
Let's get started.
We're going to stop right there.
Just let that marinate.
I know.
But let that marinate.